Welcome to Advanced Living. This is Ken Lesser here with great joy in my heart to present to you someone who has become a dear friend over the years with some amazing, amazing information consistent with our theme, with my intent. Every day, the Lord show me the best ways to have the most fun lifting the largest number of people out of the most stress in the shortest amount of time with the least intrusion into their lives. So, my listeners, I feel so excited, so blessed today to introduce you to Glenn Parnum. To give you a little bit about Glenn, he and his wife, Judy, started International Health in 1988, and they've specialized in doing research and market development of the latest clinically proven breakthroughs, not just anecdotally, but clinically proven breakthroughs in the natural health industry. And they've been featured on numerous national TV and radio shows, including Christian Broadcast TV, Network TV, the show The 700 Club. Their primary focus since 2002 has been researching the role of clinically proven ionic silver-based products to treat infectious diseases and drug-resistant bacteria. Glenn has been on numerous radio shows and to speak out about the dangers, the overuse of antibiotics, about a doctor-recommended natural alternative, and the evolving of what we call super germs, those that are so resistant to treatment. Now, International Health's newest product, the Super Silver 32 Spray Disinfectant, already has EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, approval as a hard surface disinfectant to kill the deadliest bacteria, including MRSA, which is the drug-resistant staph. So get ready, folks, and I will be bringing on our dear friend. Hello, listeners. Get ready to meet Glenn Parnum. Are you there, my friend?
I am there, brother. How are you?
Oh, feeling so good. I'm glad to have you on and so excited because you were telling me that with the antibiotic-resistant bacteria and infectious diseases are rising at an alarming rate, that so many millions of healthy people in the U.S. are at risk, and you're going to give us some true facts on the causes of the alarming rise of drug-resistant diseases. And, of course, I mean, many of us know antibiotics are overused, and unfortunately, we keep hearing they're now becoming ineffective. So how do we protect our families and loved ones?
Well, and the first thing is knowledge, okay, with some wisdom, right, that, you know, life has become so fast-paced, and we're hit with information on all sides, and you hear good news, and you hear bad news, and you hear people arguing with each other, and the politicians, and you know, everything coming out of Washington, and the economy, and the war, you know. So we're at some very increased stress levels, to say the least.
Oh, and yes.
It is definitely affecting, okay, people's health. And, you know, I don't want to stress the bad news too much, but we do have to understand how big the problem is, and you know, and if nobody's heard about this, I'm going to assume they've been in a cave for several years, out of contact with or with media, because you have had several times in the last few years where, you know, front page news and headline news and then, you know, like on all the talking heads on TV and radio have talked about this. So what we are facing, right, and as a clinical researcher who has been looking into this for a number of years, okay, I found it astounding that there are so many books on the market about this. I've got hundreds of books in my library about, you know, natural wellness and the problems and things like that going on. But that you talk to, you know, the average person on the street, and, you know, and they'll say, yeah, I've heard something about it, but, you know, till it really bothers my family, I'm not going to be concerned. And that is the exact opposite of the attitude that we need, because if you stick your head in the sand about this, you know what part of the anatomy is sticking up in the air, okay, that gets shot off. So let's spend just a couple of minutes talking about the bad news, okay, or the reality of what's going on in our world. Okay,
yeah, first, and of course, in advance of getting the bad news, I want to assure all of our listeners that we're not just going to give them some bad news and leave them to stew about it.
No,
The follow-up is going to be a simple solution to,
exactly,
to make a big difference in your life,
exactly,
and it's going to be something that you'll be able to implement and you'll be able to say,
right,
that was easy.
That was easy. That's cute. You didn't prepare me for that you had sound effects on your show, Ken.
Okay.
That's good. That's good. Okay, so here is the reality of the year 2006, is that due to the overuse of the drug or the pharmaceutical cartel made antibiotics that have been basically overused since World War II, to the point, and again, I mean, I've got a dozen books in my library that talk about this, you know, emerging viruses and the superbugs, what to do about them and all that, because you talk to any doctor, any classically trained medical doctor, and they know all about this, okay? They've been warned. If they work in a hospital now, hospitals are war zones, to the point where this the drug-resistant staff, let's just take that as an example, and it used to only be in the hospitals, and it used to only get into a person's body by a break in the skin. So if they had an operation, if they came into the ER with a wound of any kind, you know, from a car wreck or being shot or stabbed or something like that, and this MRSA, as it's called, and that stands for, okay, methicillin-resistant staph aureus, so that's the drug-resistant staph. They admit, and when I say they, the hospital association in this country admit that somewhere between 125,000 and 150,000 people who go into the hospital for other procedures die every year from getting this MRSA. And if that was the only bad news, that would be bad enough, because you figure 150,000 people, okay, like who might go in for a simple operation, and they even have instances now where family members who are going in to see people in the hospital, and let's say they had an open wound, like, you know, with a Band-Aid over it, or a scratch, or a burn of some kind, they have gotten this and have almost died. Some have died, okay? And what has happened now is that this bug, this super bug, and that's what it's called, because when you say methicillin resistant, all right, the antibiotic of last choice is an intravenous only antibiotic, and it's even becoming resistant to that. Now, what makes it resistant is that these bugs are very intelligent, and unfortunately, these antibiotics work by affecting these like so-called receptor sites on the outside cell wall of the bacteria. But the next generation of these bacteria, okay, come back without these receptor sites, and that's why they have to keep developing all these new antibiotics. And,
you know, so the diseases can evolve and protect themselves faster than we can come up with ways that are safe to use.
Exactly. And, and the travesty of this, okay, and like when you hear me talk about mainline medicine, and I'm talking about classically trained medical doctors and or the pharmaceutical cartel, here's what I think about classically trained doctors. I have great respect for what they can do, for what they're trained for. And the only a classically trained medical doctor knows anything about is trauma. Okay, if you ever watch the shows, you know, Life in the ER or Life in the Trauma Center or whatever, okay, to see what they are able to do with a broken body, which comes into there, you know, like for car wreck, you know, hit by something, fall off a building, what stab, shot, whatever.
Yeah.
It is miraculous what they can do to put the human body, okay, back together. But to ask a classically trained medical doctor anything about wellness and how to stay healthy is like asking your plumber what he knows about brain surgery, because doctors are not trained in wellness. Let's be honest here. Okay, and I am speaking as a research scientist, but there's books written about this, too. This is not just me saying this, okay? As I said to you before, I'm like a carrier pigeon. I bring the message, and then the people can choose to do, okay, what they want with, you know, with the information and the message, but the message is always truthful, that a doctor is not trained about wellness. We don't have health care in this country. It sounds nice. Oh, we have a health care system. No, we don't. We have sick care. If you're healthy and well, you don't go see a doctor.
Yeah,
okay?
This thing with preventative medicine is really kind of new on the scene.
Exactly. Okay, so, okay, my feeling of doctors, okay, of people going into, you know, like the doctors, you know, and for, you know, diagnosis with all the high-tech machines they have and everything, it's phenomenal, okay? And I tell all the people that I consult with, say, look it. If you need a doctor, okay, just in case a trauma situation happens to you, all right? But I have never met anybody who is deficient in a pharmaceutical drug, okay? Drugs are okay for a trauma situation, okay? And it always comes back. Let's take an asthmatic. If they are having an attack and they can spray a poisonous chemical down into their lungs, which allows them to breathe while they try to get everything fixed, that is miraculous. But to tell an asthmatic that you must spray that poison down into your lungs, okay, over and over and over and over again, okay, and that is the only solution to the problem, because what is going to happen one day is that asthmatic is going to have an attack, is going to spray that steroid into his lungs, and nothing is going to happen because the body builds resistance. The same way that bacteria build resistance to antibiotics. And the pharmaceutical cartel, and I have nothing nice to say about them, okay? The pharmaceutical cartel is in business to make money. They are not in the business to help people, okay? And it seems like in the last year or so, God has been lifting up the skirt of this whole unholy alliance between the FDA, the pharmaceutical drug companies with the Vioxx scandal and the Celebrex and that. So it's the same with antibiotics. Because antibiotics are very unprofitable, they have admitted that there has only been one new antibiotic created in the last 30 years, and that was the antibiotic created specifically to try to fight this drug-resistant staph infection. And when they had this outbreak in New York about 6 months ago, okay, those antibiotic pills were going for $100 a pill.
Mm.
Okay, so the pharmaceutical cartel is nothing more than a worldwide investment scheme to take advantage of the illness of people, and they are not in the business of trying to cure people. They are in the business of getting people on their drugs. Every drug is toxic to the human body. Every drug has toxic side effects. And the number one cause of visits to emergency rooms, okay, are what they call adverse drug reactions, ADRs. Okay.
Like contraindications? Or?
Exactly. The side effects, contraindications, all of that. So, with them only developing one antibiotic in the last 30 years, one new antibiotic, all they're doing now with all these different names of antibiotics you hear, they're taking old antibiotics, upping the dosage to almost a lethal level, and giving that to people. And this has brought on a real possibility. Okay, even though you hear a lot about the H5N1 bird flu, okay, there are scientists worldwide who are saying that the next pandemic, okay, could be a bacterial infection breakout that no antibiotic touches. Okay, so mm-hmm. at the same time, we could have this outbreak of the viral thing they call the bird flu. It's actually a pig flu. So we have a major problem going on, even to the point where last year, the first part of 2005, the largest pediatric medical association in the United States released a news release and told doctors to quit using antibiotics for children. Because anytime that a child has an ear infection or whatever and is in pain and screaming, it's very hard for the mother to say, well, you know, we're just going to kind of let it ride out. And they go into the doctor, and the doctor writes a prescription, and they've been doing this for years. It's gotten to the point now where most of the antibiotics are not working on our children. And if they have a real serious infection and disease, they have overused these antibiotics so much that they are not working and children are dying because of it. And it's important to realize that, what do antibiotics do and what are they made from?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I certainly don't know enough. Would you please share that?
Okay. And the word tells you, antibiotic. Okay. Anti means, okay, against, and biotic is life.
Yeah.
So, okay, its role, and when, okay. Don't get me wrong. I think there is a place for antibiotics. It has saved millions of lives down through the years. Unfortunately, we have just come to the point now in history where, because of the overuse of them for a lot of unnecessary things, and we'll talk about that too, like using them in our food.
Food?
Oh yeah. If anybody eats non-organically grown animal products, so when you think of animals. Beef, pork, turkey, or chicken. Now, and then all the byproducts, milk, eggs, cheese, cottage cheese, cream cheese, yogurt, and pepperoni, the list goes on and on and on. When they are grown in a regular industrial way, they are pumped full of two different things, strictly for the economic advantage of the growers. The first thing they pump into them is hormones, primarily estrogen, growth hormones to fatten them up very quickly. We could do a whole show on that because that's one of my specialties. I've got advanced studies in hormone biochemistry, and that has been our primary function for the last 18 years mm-hmm. with International Health. So hormones are pumped into them, all right. And then the other thing, 70% of all antibiotics made in this country. Now there are 50 million pounds a year. Of antibiotics manufactured in the United States. 70% of them, or 35 million pounds, are fed to our animals for mm-hmm. two reasons. The traditional raising and slaughtering of animals is so unhealthy. I mean, and there's been several books on that. Oprah had that big controversy when she had that rancher on, was talking about mad cow and stuff like that. And then there's other ones, Fast Food Nation and things like that, that if the average person really knew, how the meat was grown, and that's all the meat.
Sure.
Like beef, pork,
well, I'm wondering, Glenn, if you could confirm something.
Right.
But when I grew up, it was a great family tradition to go to a favorite steakhouse, and on the menu it would feature proudly this corn-fed prime or choice beef. And then I had heard that cattle, while you can fatten them on corn, that it's not a natural part of their diet and that it actually gets them sick, and that's one of the reasons that they have to take antibiotics, that you really want that cattle are designed to graze in open grange.
Yes, and the best thing and the best type of meat out there as far as beef is grass-fed. The corn-fed beef has a real problem with fungus. And all antibiotics are made from fungus. Penicillin, that's a fungus.
Oh, that's
okay.
Right, from the black bread mold.
Yeah, so when you take an antibiotic or when you eat animal products, okay, that are not grown organically, you eat antibiotics. And the greed part of this comes in when you find out that these manufacturers use the antibiotics to try to keep the animals, okay, healthy enough to slaughter, okay, but then all of their flesh is permeated with these antibiotics, and instead of using a completely different class of antibiotics from what humans take, they use the same families. So, okay, what you have is the opportunity, okay, of all these different bacterial infections that are in animals, in their guts, in their bloodstream, and using the same family of antibiotics that are given to human beings. So when those bugs develop a resistance to the antibiotics, then it's passed on to us. And if we get that antibiotic resistant bug in us, then what are we to do? You know, so this, I mean, and it's gotten so out of hand, all right, that every time you take an antibiotic that's made from a fungus, it leaves a fungal infection behind. All right, and that's why women, many, many times, if they have to use any antibiotics or if they use birth controls or anything like that, which also destroy the good bacteria, because that's the real danger with antibiotics.
Yeah, it doesn't just kill the bad stuff.
It kills the good. And all right, and God put about 4 to 5 pounds of good bacteria in our gut. It's responsible for 90% of our immune response. So you take an antibiotic, and as you said, it kills not only the bad bacteria if it's not resistant, but it kills all the good stuff too. All right? And most people have heard of what they call probiotics, that are the opposite of antibiotics. It's the Acidophilus and Bifidus and the 14 other different families. Okay, Acidophilus and Bifidus normally will not help that much to repopulate the good bacteria in your gut. Okay, you need a broad spectrum probiotic. But, all right, so all these people taking antibiotics or birth control pills and these synthetic hormones, and then all the other things, and they eat the animal products, okay? Like all fast food hamburgers are just toxic for you because they're loaded with hormones and these antibiotics. So over a period of time, it destroys most of your digestive system. So what's the end result of that? What we have right now, we have an absolute epidemic in this country of digestive disorders. And the pharmaceutical cartel had to make it into a disease. All right, now I'm...
Okay. Acid reflux.
Well, yeah, acid reflux, GERD, I mean, all these different things. Okay, when I was growing up, it was called acid indigestion and heartburn.
Yeah.
All right, but, you know, and they just said take Tums, which are the worst things you can take, or anything like that. But now it's a disease. That's what the pharmaceutical cartel is really well known for among us health professionals, is they will take... A normal breakdown in some tissue of the body that can easily be fixed with natural products, but then they will turn it into a disease so they can create a patented drug to treat it. As an example, when we talk antibiotics, okay, they were really developed, you know, like in the late 30s, and they came into, you know, real prominence in the 40s. But at the same time, you had a lot of research going on silver-based products back then, because it has been known for thousands of years that there was something about elemental silver, that's the regular silver that you get out of the ground, like gold and silver, had incredible antimicrobial and antibacterial properties to it.
Now, I'm wondering if you could confirm, because I had heard that the pioneers that were coming across our country when our country was being developed, they would put a silver coin into the water barrels.
And the milk pail.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So that is true.
Oh, well, absolutely. Okay. You know, because we don't, okay, as Americans, you know, like a lot of times, you know, even though we have history in school, you know, they don't really teach you important history. But if you think about it, before refrigeration, before electricity, okay, I live in Arizona, and it gets a little warm here. In fact, most of the people in Arizona go over to where you live in San Diego because it's so much cooler over there. I try to imagine when it's 110 degrees here what people did before air conditioning.
Yeah.
So you think about the pioneers. Now, let's even take it back further to the Chinese warlords. All right, history, okay, has been recorded that, you know, the samurais, if they got cut or wounded or something like that, they would take a big silver bar and they would scrape shavings off of that silver bar directly into the wound to keep infection from happening. Okay, so it goes back that far.
Wow.
It goes back to creation, all right? You have to wonder, how come God put, silver in the whole crust of the earth? That's where it is. It's not real deep in the ground like coal and other things like that. It was, in the surface of, or in like the first, several feet of layers. It's God's antimicrobial filtering system, for as the rain comes down, it would filter through the silver, which would go down into the aquifers and stuff, and it's this cycle, okay? And then one of the problems is that we have mined out so much of the silver that we don't have that antibacterial crust anymore, all right? So the pioneers definitely dropped silver dollars into their milk, into their water. And if anybody listening is an antique nut, every once in a while when you go to these antique auctions, they will auction off a solid silver milk pail. That's what they used to store the milk in. It was solid silver.
Wow.
And the bacteria, and they didn't know why. This was something handed down from generation to generation. You didn't have a lot of science like you do now.
And folklore that works.
Well, exactly. Because most folklore, when science really looks into it, finds out, well, here's the scientific reason that worked. And that's what started to happen in the 1920s, is that you had some of the pharmaceutical companies looking into silver-based products because of the highly antimicrobial, antibacterial, antivirus. There are also killing viruses and fungus. It's a broad spectrum killer of these bad microbes, all right? But all of the research was dropped when they found out, one, they couldn't patent it, and then with the advent of the antibiotics, silver kind of went to the wayside. It was not totally forgotten, because what you had developed around that time was a very crude way of making what has become known as colloidal silver. All right, and anybody who has been involved with the natural health industry for any number of years has heard the term colloidal silver. I have personally used colloidal silver since I was a child. I didn't know what I was taking. Okay, I'm the youngest of four children, and our father used to give us what we called magic water. During the cold and flu season, and we virtually never got sick. We didn't know why, all right? And I later found out that that's what he was giving us.
Uh-huh.
My dad was one of the pioneers of the natural health industry around Chicago, where I was born and raised. So, and then for the last 35 years, I have been using it on a regular basis. But one thing bothered me, about the colloidal silver industry was there was no science. There was no hard science behind it. There was some research back in the late 1800s, early 1900s, but most of it had dropped, because there was just no economic benefit for any pharmaceutical company to do this, and they don't care about anything that they can't get a patent on. So, unfortunately, what happened, I have been fondly referred to among my scientific colleagues for years as Dr. Silver, because I would always tell them, look it, silver is the most miraculous thing God ever put on this planet as an antimicrobial agent, right? And even though there was no hard science, I would say to them, now look it, someday somebody's going to put their money where their mouth is and actually do full-blown clinical research on silver or a silver solution that is going to save millions of people, because we are having all of this drug-resistant problem.
Yeah, and one of the things that to me is so compelling is when we spoke, if I'm recalling correctly, you were mentioning that the use of the right silver, we can tackle some things that malaria, a terrible condition that affects so many millions of people, these drug-resistant tuberculosis infections.
Mm-hmm.
We've heard recently in the news at different times the salmonella, the E. coli, and then SARS, which the airborne infectious bacteria that caused such a stir.
Right.
There's more and more, and then other things that was mentioned of the canker sores, the cold sores, the herpes, the
right.
candida, which so many people suffer from. These are huge things that affect so many millions of people's lives. So I'm excited to learn more. Glenn, please go on.
Well, okay, so I get a call about, let's see, it's 2006. So early 2002, I get a call from one of my scientific colleagues. Did you hear about that new patented method of this of making this silver solution that is so unique? You know, and I hadn't heard about it. You know, he said, did you hear about it? I said, no, I'm very surprised because I've got, you know, I get emails from all my research places. So he gave me the name of the manufacturer. I started my due diligence, and here's what we found out, that a biotech company had started to do research. Now, at the time, they already had about 4.5 years of research. I mean, full-blown research. Okay, so what they had done is during a series of experiments, to develop a new method of construction. Okay, that's the actual term for it, method of construction, to make a silver solution. Okay, because colloidal silver, here's one of the main problems. It's wrought with fraud. Okay, and you have all different parts per million. All right, if you punch in colloidal silver on an internet search engine, you get over 50,000 websites who claim, you know, they have the best, and it's 10 parts per million all the way up to, I used to take 1,500 parts per million and everything in between, because that's how the strength is determined. It's not milligrams like with vitamins. It's parts per million, ppm. So I started my due diligence, and here's what I found out. During their testing, and they were testing with electronic engineers and metallurgists and things like that, I mean, some real scientific stuff, that they developed this method of construction that created this nano-sized silver particle with a supercharge on it that was wrapped in oxygen. So they said, well, that's kind of unique, and they got a patent on the method of construction. Okay, not on the actual silver molecule at that point. And they do have a patent on that now, because it is such a unique molecule that when they started to do research on this, because they were determined from the very get-go, knowing that if they were going to take this into mainline medicine, if they were going to take it to doctors as an alternative to be used instead of antibiotics, not to replace the antibiotic industry, but to be used when they don't work, which is most of the time. So they started full-blown research. So they had a lot of money behind them to do this, okay? And in fact, the parent company is a silver mining company. So in talking to some of the principals of the company, what they were actually looking to do was to create, all right, a bigger market for the use of silver, all right? Mm-hmm. But they did want to take it to mainline medicine, so they said, once and for all, we got to do definitive studies, and if it shows that it doesn't work, well, then we know once and for all. Let's do the full-blown clinical science necessary to take this to doctors and to the FDA and all that kind of stuff. So they started out. And to say that they were surprised with the results is an understatement. The first thing they did was they tested it against every other silver product on the market. All right, you can walk into any health food store and find several different types of what's called colloidal silver. You can go on the internet and find thousands of different colloidal silvers. Okay, so the first thing they said is, let's make sure that this is actually more unique and a better germ killer than what's already on the market. So they tested it up to and including 1,500 parts per million, because they're 10 parts per million. When I first heard it was only 10 parts per million, I said, that's nothing. You got to use more silver to have the higher killing, right? And that was just my reasoning.
Sure.
And they tested this, and at 10 parts per million, it was out-killing all of the bacterial testing that they were doing of all of the silver products up to and including 1,500 parts per million. So it was extremely effective at low doses.
Take too much silver into the body, can't you?
Well, there is this disease, if you want to call it that, called argyria, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's never really happened with people taking small doses of silver, like small parts per million. What the pharmaceutical industry has done, and every time that they kind of want to poo-poo this whole silver thing, they will parade this woman out who actually has her own website, and she looks like Mrs. Tin Man. Or a smurf, however you want to call it. Okay, extreme graying of the outer dermis of the skin. Now, nothing dangerous physically about it, but who wants to go around looking like a Tin Man or a Smurf?
Mm-hmm.
And they will always say, look what will happen to you if you use a silver-based solution of any kind. What they fail to tell you is that, first of all, she was, as a child, subjected to nose drops of 300,000 parts per million. That's 30% pure silver.
Mm.
And it wasn't real elemental silver. It was the pharmaceutical silver salt. They just happened to leave that out, though, because this has been their propaganda message, because they know silver. And a scientifically proven silver solution, like the super silver solution that we're talking about, threatens a $50 billion a year antibiotic industry. Okay? So, yes, if you take a pharmaceutical silver salt in very, very, you know, high percentages, that can happen to you. Or when they have extremely large particles, which are not excreted out of the kidneys and the liver, okay? And one of the first things that this biotech manufacturer did with Super Silver was they did extreme safety tests on it, because they were taking it and they were giving it to their children and their relatives and everything else, and they wanted to know it was safe. Okay, so they went to the largest independent safety laboratory. One of the things that I was impressed with as a researcher was, okay, because I have to say I was rather skeptical. Because most companies, if they want to prove their products are good and effective, do what's called in-house testing. It's much less expensive if you have somebody on the payroll and they're doing research on your products.
Yeah, well, who wants to come up with bad results and tell the boss bad news?
Thank you. Okay, in-house testing. If I read that a company has proven all the things they claim about their products with in-house testing, no thank you. Independent testing, which is much more expensive, but they don't have anything to gain.
Yeah.
It is an independent research firm who is hired to do research on this particular product, and it's good, bad, or indifferent. Whatever the results are, they give it. And this company said, we will do no in-house testing.
Oh, that's great.
Everything that we get and do will be done with independent outside research and top level, university level. Like when I read the results on the testing on yeast and fungus and that, they had used somebody right, okay, in your area, the University of California, Davis, who is one of the top yeast and fungus laboratories in this country.
Mm.
And they had gone to them and say, test it. And because I have been working with natural hormones for so many years, every woman has a problem with yeast and fungus, especially if they've taken birth controls or synthetic hormones or antibiotics. It just whacks out all the good bacteria, and they end up with these fungus and yeast infections. This super silver didn't just stun it, it killed it at 10 parts per million or less.
Oh, and a question came up for me. I went to, before I got acquainted with what you're doing, I went to the health food store, and they had a very highly regarded colloidal silver.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed when I read the label, it told me not only to use their product, but to also get from them a probiotic so that I could replace some of the friendly bacteria in my digestive system when I use their colloidal silver.
Exactly. And see, that's been one of the challenges of all these other silvers, that because the absorption rate at the most is like 50%. Okay, into the bloodstream, because it doesn't do any good if it doesn't get into the bloodstream, which will then take it to the tissues, saturate the tissues that are infected with fungus or the mold or candida or yeast. So the other 50% would go through your gut, and silver, okay, kills bacteria, and it does not differentiate. It kills the good, too, and that's why every other silver product, if you're going to take it, you better follow up with an antibiotic. One of the things that they tested with Super Silver was the kill rate of the probiotics in the gut. Now, they don't know why yet, because the researchers said if you want to know why it's not killing the good bacteria, that's going to take about another 12 months and $100,000 of research. But we can tell you from our research that we've done so far, it is 98% absorbed into the bloodstream, okay, because of the microfine nano-sized particles, and the other 2% does not touch the good bacteria in the gut. They think that it has something to do with the oxygen wrap on it. They don't know for sure, but we know that it does not touch the good bacteria. So unlike other silver products, All right. And, you know, I do these radio shows all the time, Ken. And what I basically say is, you know, to all these other silver companies, and there are a couple of good ones who are walking down the same path as the Super Silver, all right, but all these other companies, the 50,000 websites out there who sell what they call colloidal silver, I tell them, put up or shut up. Either spend the money and do the research or get out of the marketplace. Because, you know, now we're not just talking about, you know, helping with some minor infections. We're talking about life-changing, life-threatening infections. And personally, I don't want to be taking anything myself or giving anything to my loved ones or my family members that doesn't have at least clinical studies on it. Okay? So they kept doing all these clinical studies. And they found that it was... Oh. Are you still there?
Yes.
Okay, because I'm hearing clicking on the line. There we go. It's just Big Brother listening in. Okay, are you still there?
Yes.
You're here. Okay. So they just kept doing all this research. They did direct head-to-head test. Hang on. There's somebody at the door, dear. Okay. Sorry about that. The door.
That's okay. This is wonderful.
Okay.
Real people talking to you.
Well, exactly. Okay.
They have lives, you know.
That, and they, let's see, the direct testing against antibiotics. I mean, every antibiotic on the planet, and it blew them away and had no side effects. So they were completely surprised. So were the scientists at these independent research places because, you know, they will take on research just to make money, okay? And mm-hmm. they fully expected this to just be blown out of the water. And when all of these things started to happen, you had some very surprised scientists, ones that even volunteered their time after the research to continue this research because they started to test this against every major problem in the world. You mentioned malaria. Now, that is the second biggest killer in the world. Most people don't realize that because it hasn't hit this country in a big way yet. Okay, we had a breakout down in Florida last year, but it wasn't in the news very much. But it's the second biggest killer in the world. It kills 10,000 children a day in Africa.
10,000 children a day?
A day, you know. So they were asked, by a consortium of hospitals in Africa. And these, you know, and see, most people, you know, I think that the United States has the most modern hospitals and that. Well, they'd be surprised to see, like, some hospitals in Mexico that are as high-tech as anything we have here in Africa, all right? And this group of hospitals, very, very, you know, famous hospitals, the Air Force Hospital and things like that, that are every bit as modern. And, of course, Africa has one of the worst problems with not only AIDS and HIV, hepatitis, but all these infectious diseases. So they said, could we test your product? Okay, would you donate all of your product to us if we do a full medical protocol and give you all the results? Well, of course.
Yeah, who would say no to that?
Well, exactly. So that started out, and what came out of that has most of the international scientific community quite stunned about it because it was not only killing all of the bacterial infections, and that means sinus infections and fungal infections. I mean, people who had chronic conditions that nothing was treating, and they were walking out of the African hospital studies cured within a week. So they said, well, we have a problem here with, let's see, malaria, too. You know, would you mind if we did a full protocol? It's going to cost you a little bit more, but, you know, let's do it. And they said, of course. And they didn't really fully expect to have what happened, okay? They ended up with taking, and they came to call this the therapeutic dose. That's 2 teaspoons 3 times a day of the 10 part per million. And they had people walking out of the African hospitals cured, and that's not me saying that. That's the African doctors. Hmm. They were cured of malaria, taking 2 teaspoons 3 times a day within 5 to 7 days.
Oh, wow.
Absolutely shocked the doctors. So they said there must have been some mistake. They must have been on some other medications. Let's retest them. So they kept this going. It's still ongoing. It has been so successful that the CEO of the biotech manufacturer spoke before Congress last year at the International Malaria Symposium, pretty much shocked everybody. And they tested this head-to-head against the very toxic, malaria drugs that are sold, you know, to the UN and then used in the fight against malaria, and it was just blowing them away with no side effects. So that's a double-edged sword, because now all the pharmaceutical companies know about this product. And it's just being really interesting, because on that note, we just completed our 50th clinical study. And it is so dramatic, but here's what the FDA did. And I'm sure, like you have talked about this before on your show, if the FDA is here to protect us, I'm the Easter Bunny. Right? That the FDA is...
Well, that's their supposed purpose.
Well, okay.
Just how good are they fulfilling that, that edict that they were put there to do?
It's pretty clear from the documentaries that have been produced, and the whistleblowers, the Dr. David Graham, who basically was their head researcher, who blew the whistle on the Vioxx and the Celebrex scandal and everything, and said the FDA is broke. It has been for years. It gets most of its major funding from the pharmaceutical industry, so they're in bed together. And anyway, the FDA, when they found out about the 50th clinical study, sent a letter to the biotech manufacturer and said, if you release the findings of those studies, you will be reclassified as a new drug, and you can't sell your product until you go through the $400 or $500 million of drug testing. So if you want to maintain your nutritional supplement standard, you can release the findings of those studies. So think about that, my friend. Okay. Now, and the only good news in all of this is that there are lawsuits against the FDA, and because the government has been working with them. Okay, you mentioned something in the introduction to us about the Super Silver 32.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because they knew there was a major need for a safe hard surface disinfectant. Because most of the things that you use to disinfect, especially against the bad stuff, is very toxic. You got to be careful about people touching it, like in the hospital and all this kind of stuff. So they started testing and found that at just 32 parts per million of this same nano-size supercharged particle with an oxygen ramp, they only had to increase it to 32 parts per million, okay? And it kills anthrax, it kills bubonic plague, it kills drug-resistant staph, it kills SARS. I have a letter from the military who it was being sent to the Department of Homeland Defense about this incredible product. Completely safe, okay, because I drink the 32 parts per million, even though it is officially classified as an EPA-approved hard surface disinfectant. Give me a break. I have drank up to 1,500 parts per million, so 32 is not going to bother me, okay? It kills everything. And the military, started to test this, and they have been using it over in Afghanistan and Iraq. And so the only good news with this FDA, gag order, is that the military or the Department of Homeland Defense might release these studies. And if so, we can then make direct claims because we didn't release them. They did. Okay, I mean, so many exciting things are happening. If people really take a step back and say, well, silver, I mean, I haven't heard that much about it. Well, then they better start looking around. Because silver is making an absolute amazing comeback into the marketplace in consumer products. Okay, the largest Band-Aid.
Oh, like the Curad Band-Aid.
There you go. You can walk into any drugstore, and the largest Band-Aid manufacturer in the world, which is Curad, has a silver impregnated Band-Aid with antibacterial protection. Okay, so, that was a major deal. A silver Band-Aid that will protect me from getting, all this, infections and stuff. Lance Armstrong, the suit that he wears when he's bicycling, has got silver threads in it to stop the bacteria when he sweats. Okay, diabetic places now sell socks with silver threads in them to protect from the infections, that diabetics get on their feet. Silver is being impregnated now into several different things, cutting boards, okay? You mentioned salmonella and like E. coli, okay? So they tested super silver on all of these food poisoning agents, okay? Because a lot of people get extremely sick and die every year, from E. coli and salmonella. We've heard of the millions of pounds of recall of beef and chicken and stuff like that. So they tested against all of these food poisoning agents, and it killed all of them. Even Listeria, which is a very strange C-bacterial infection, okay, because it can even live on meats and stuff below freezing or like right at freezing, which normally, you know, kills all the other ones. But right, so it kills listeria, it kills salmonella, kills E. coli. And they just kept testing, all right, and you are going to find this product used because they're working on gigantic, okay, not only governmental orders of this, because they found that it's just one part per million.
Uh-huh.
Now think about this. One part per million. There's a tragedy going on with our troops, okay, in Iraq and Afghanistan, over in the Middle East, what they call Baghdad boils, and there's this long bacterial infection name for it. It's a parasite that rides on the sand flea, and it inflicts our soldiers with these big, ugly boils and sores that are just terrible. No antibiotic was touching it, and the super silver at just one part per million is killing it. One part per million, that's extraordinary.
Yeah.
So the military...
Well, I mean, this is so beautiful because people have looked for what they call the silver bullet.
Well, exactly.
And now we get to find out that the silver bullet is actually truly made out of silver, and it's now called super silver.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
I know my listeners and just millions of people out there are going to be just clamoring, you know, for this. And with my experience with this, I've had to say, you know, knowing you, the research behind this, I'm very careful about what I put on my website at advancedliving.com, and I've said this is a must. People absolutely have to have this available, and I am just so thrilled to be offering this. So, beloved listeners, when you're ready, please spread the word. Tell people to come to advancedliving.com so that you can add this beautiful piece to your travel kit through the journey through planet Earth here. We need it desperately, obviously, based on what you're saying, Glenn.
Right, and there are tests going on right now with the H5N1, okay, because with all this bacteria kill off, and it kills herpes, but then you're now going into a viral infection. And they said, well, if it works on bacteria, let's just see what it does on viruses, because we're talking a complete different, for lack of word, animal when we go from bacteria to virus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they understand, okay, how the silver works to kill bacteria. It just cuts off its ability to respirate. It suffocates it, and that's why it cannot develop any resistance to it, because if you hold a hand over your mouth and nose and you suffocate, there ain't no way to develop any resistance to that. It just suffocates them. But
right.
In viruses, it's a totally different thing. So they started to test it, and it kills the hepatitis. And the hepatitis B study just shocked the scientists, where it was five times more effective than any pharmaceutical drug with no side effects. So they have the test going on with hepatitis C. There was just a big joint venture, a clinical science thing with the University of Texas and Mexico, and nano-sized silver particles kill the HIV virus. Now, that's your front page news. It's all over the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
But again, that threatens billions. The HIV and AIDS medications are a $16 billion a year industry for the pharmaceutical cartel, and they don't want anything to touch that.
And there's a very low survival rate.
Oh, my God, it's terrible, okay, because the drugs actually do more damage than the actual disease itself. But, you know, for the parents listening, this is so safe, it can be used in the eyes and ears of little babies. It knocks out ear infections. That's one of the things that they're going for FDA approval. This is so effective at knocking out ear infections that every child gets, okay?
And so gentle. Glenn, this is amazing. We're getting down to the end of our program here,
okay.
And I could keep listening to you literally for hours, and one of the things that we are going to do is invite you to come back for our show next Saturday. We can wrap up anything more about this at that time, and then, of course, we got a treat for people, because I'm sure more than a few of our listeners out there are using these cell phones.
Oh,
and
wait till they hear about the new research on that.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to not only, once again, scare you a bit, but the scare is just a reality check, so you can be aware of what's going on,
and
give
always
a simple solution to protecting you from that cell phone radiation that is, again, in the line of Glenn's work, something clinically tested.
Exactly.
So
let
folks,
me do this.
Get ready,
right.
And when you have time, get right over to advancedliving.com or call me 1-800-317-9969.
Okay.
So that we can get that going. And if you need to reach Glenn for some more specific details, his number, 480-429-0021.
And that's at my research office in Arizona. And
yes.
You know, if they didn't get the number, they can call you and you can give it.
Absolutely.
So, yeah,
be happy to connect you to him.
Yeah, if they have real specific health concerns, hormones, anything like that, or things the doctor has said, I can't help you.
Glenn, I'm just so thrilled. I can't tell you. Just thank you. Thank you so much. And my friends out there, once again, I think we've rung the bell on giving you something that is powerful and that makes a big difference, where you can say,
that was easy.
Yeah.
What's your website again?
AdvancedLiving.com.
Okay.
AdvancedLiving.com.
AdvancedLiving.com. Cool.
Yes.
All right, my brother, I'll talk to you again soon, and we'll talk about some other breakthroughs.
You got it.
Blessings
to you, my friend.
All right, God bless.
And to you, all my listeners. God bless. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Let go and let God, let myself lose and let go of it. Let it go, let it go. Let go and let God, let myself be and let go of it. Let it go, let it go. Let go and let God, let myself lose and let go of it. Let it go, let it go. Let go and let God, let myself be.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.